Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's a warm afternoon, so try not to keep you too long. Let's turn to God's Word. We're going to read two passages there. First of all, Psalm 23, and then you can get your finger into Luke chapter 15 and verse 15. Also, Psalm 23, we'll read that psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And over to Luke chapter 15 and verse 15. Now, consideration this afternoon, as you may have guessed, as we have spoken about the first two verses of this psalm on two other occasions, we're going to look just at the one phrase of verse 3 of Psalm 23. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Before we do that, let's go to Luke 15 and starting from verse 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Let's pray for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Your Word. We come asking that You would assist us, that You would open our eyes and our ears and our understanding. Lord, by Your Spirit, press the truth to our conscience, and may we be people who are molded continually by Your precious Word, that we may live to Your honor and Your glory. Speak, Lord, we pray, in the pages of Scripture, for Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 23, and that first phrase in verse 3, He restores my soul. One thing we must say, and I may have mentioned this before, that Psalm 23 is such a popular psalm, and it's a psalm that everybody likes to sing and everybody likes to repeat. And when we're at the convalescent home, when you read Psalm 23, everybody is reading along with a big smile on their face, because it's the only psalm that most of them know at the top of their heads. People seem to think that there's something magical about the psalm, and when you're on your deathbed, please come and read Psalm 23 for me. When you've never given a thought to God, this is not so. The blessings contained in this psalm are for God's people, for His sheep. This is a psalm written from the perspective of a sheep looking to his good shepherd. He restores my soul. We have before us today very solemn and very blessed words indeed. Solemn because because God's Word tells us that even the very best of us, and even the more spiritually mature amongst us, may, if unwatchful, fall into sin and wander from God. That, of course, as we know so well, is the very testimony of the psalmist David, who wrote this psalm as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit, this inspired Word of God. As he writes the psalm, And as he writes in Psalm 51, and that psalm is likely just after his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the subsequent murder of her husband by sending him to the front lines. He writes in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me again the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit." Well, I'm sure most likely every believer here today can testify to the fact that at some time or multiple times in our Christian walk, we've experienced wasted days, weeks, months, perhaps in your experience, even years of sin and of wandering from God through sin or indifference or a coldness of heart that we felt towards God who loves us so dearly in His Son. One thing we can say with great certainty about such times when we wander from God because of our own sin or indifference is that it is a time of great waste. It's wasted time. It's like an army marching, and the commanding officer calls out, "Mark time." And you know what that means when you're marching and there's an obstacle in the way? The sergeant will call out, "Mark time," which means you don't stop, you don't halt, you continue marching, but you don't move forward. You're just walking on the spot and marking time. Hebrews 11, Champions of Our Faith, which our brother referred to even this morning, illustrates so well when Hebrews 11 verse 29 says, "By faith the Israelites passed through the Red Sea as by dry land." And then the very next verse says what? "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about for 7 days." Did you miss something there between those two verses? About 40 years. About 40 years between those two verses. There's a period of 40 years of willfulness and wandering in the desert. And after the wilderness wanderings and the stubbornness and the sin of 40 years, God brings His people back to where? To new heights of blessedness and holiness? No. Back to Kadesh Barnea. The place where they camped, where they crossed the Red Sea 40 years ago. Time spent out of fellowship with God and wandering from God because of our sin and indifference is wasted time. So there's a solemn warning for us here to watch our lives and our doctrine closely. For our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. These are solemn words indeed before us today. But they are also very blessed words here, because they tell us that we have a good shepherd who will restore our wandering souls. We have one greater than the shepherds of old who would leave the 99 and go after the one which is lost and fight off the lion and the bear and bring us back safely to the fold. This is our good shepherd. And Matthew Henry says, "Though God may suffer his people to fall into sin, he will not suffer them to still lie in it." Jesus' words to his disciples, you remember the Passover feast, the last Passover in Matthew 26, with his disciples, what does Jesus tell them? He says, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." What a blessed thought that not if we sin, when we sin, and wander, and backslide, and grow cold in our hearts towards God, the good shepherd restores my soul. The good shepherd will leave the 99 and come and find you and restore your soul. If Before we look more closely at these words, this little phrase today, and observe what means the Lord uses in restoring us, let's look again at this helpful little commentary that I mentioned last week by Philip Keller, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And Philip Keller's insights into the shepherd and the nature and character of sheep bring an interesting dimension to our understanding of this verse today. He restores my soul. Now, he points out to us, as we know, that the psalmist David was one who tasted defeat and sin and wandering in his life. He felt the frustration of having fallen under temptation. And as David writes in Psalm 42 at verse 11, he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." But Philip Keller picks up on this little phrase, cast down, or cast. And there is an exact parallel to this in caring for sheep. And only those who really intimately know the workings and the nature and the character of sheep, and maybe there are a couple of shepherds here this morning, I doubt it, will understand their habits and the significance of a cast down sheep or a cast sheep. This is in fact an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that's been turned over on its back, lying there, and he's not able to get up again by himself. And you may have seen pictures. I have seen pictures or cartoons of a sheep or a bunch of sheep. And there's one lying on his back with his 4 feet, these skinny little feet that sheep have, and this huge sheep with this woolen coat on his back. And I've often wondered, what on earth is that sheep doing lying on his back, struggling to stand up? But in fact, this is something that happens to sheep, because particularly if they're heavy or they have a heavy coat, they can, if they stumble and fall, they can end up on their back, and they in fact pant and bleat and struggle, and it makes things worse as they lie there lashing out in frightened frustration. Now, if the shepherd or the owner doesn't arrive on the scene in a reasonable time, in a short period of time, the sheep will in fact die if they've been cast down or the sheep has been cast. And it takes a vigilant shepherd to count his sheep every day at multiple times during the day. And if he sees that one or two are in fact missing, the first thing that would go through a good shepherd's mind is, one of my sheep is cast somewhere or cast down. I must go and search and set him on his feet again. And of course, it's not only the owner or the shepherd who keeps a sharp eye for cast sheep, but it's also the predators. Cast sheep is easy prey for vultures and dogs and coyotes and cougars and buzzards and the like, because they are completely helpless as they lie there on their back. And even the fattest and the largest and the healthiest sheep can become cast and be a casualty. And in fact, very often, it's the fatter sheep and the healthier sheep and the ewe with two lambs in her belly about to be born that are the ones that are most vulnerable to become cast. A heavy or a long fleece sheep will lie down in some little hollow in the ground and get really comfortable. And if you lay down on the beach and you have a big stomach like mine, it's kind of nice to go push the sand so that your stomach is comfortable. And so a big sheep, after he's eaten perhaps, may lie down in a little hollow. And as they stretch out their legs, what happens? The center of gravity suddenly takes them and bang, they're on their back, and they panic, and they kick their legs, and they're frustrated, and it only makes things worse as they roll completely on their back, the struggling, the panic, and there they're stuck and quite impossible to gain their feet again, particularly if it's a large lamb or a thick woolen coat that's full of mud or become wet, and there's the sheep, and one can't help thinking that this was possibly the exact thing going through David's mind as he wrote, "Why are you so cast down, O my soul?" Well, the restoration process to this I found quite interesting also. When the shepherd finds this cast sheep or the cast down sheep, the big danger with the sheep, of course, and we have a vet and you could speak to him, David, in our congregation. He could probably tell you a lot more about this than I do. But a cast sheep is lying on his back and his rumen, which is the first part, the big stomach, because they are grazed, there are numerous stomachs like a cow, I understand, but the rumen builds up with gas as the sheep lies on its back. And if it's a very hot day, it's just a few hours and that sheep can die. And in milder weather, if it's raining, the sheep may last a few days. But in order to restore the sheep and to bring him from the uncast position, if the shepherd finds him in time, he would have to physically pick up the sheep and turn him around and set his feet on the ground. And then he would have to straddle his legs either side of the sheep to hold it up and massage its legs and its limbs to get the blood flowing again. And that sheep would kind of walk and maybe drop to the floor again if it's been upside down for some time. And if you've watched my wife with our cat, when she's stroking it, she's talking to the cat all the time. And my beautiful little baby and all those sorts of things. I'm sure you all do the same thing. And you can imagine the shepherd very tenderly saying, "Why did you do that? You must be so careful," as he's leaning over the sheep and rubbing its limbs and making sure with great tenderness that the sheep is okay, and off he goes and he's restored once again. And there's something intensely personal, tender and enduring, isn't there? Yet intensely fraught with danger in this picture. On the one hand, the sheep so helpless, so utterly immobilized, though otherwise a strong and healthy sheep with a good coat and flourishing, while on the other hand, there is the shepherd or the owner, attentive and quick and ready to come to the rescue, ever patient and tender and helpful. Now, some people seem to have the idea that when the child of God falls or sins, when he's frustrated and helpless in a spiritual dilemma, that God becomes disgusted, fed up, and even furious with us. Now, this is not so. This is not so. And one of the great revelations of the heart of God given to us by Christ is that of himself as our shepherd. Did our Lord Jesus Christ not weep over those who spurned his very affections? Matthew 23 and 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that killed the prophets and stoned those who sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood together under her wings, and you were not willing." Jesus is our kind shepherd, loving and long-suffering to those who wander and fall and even spurn his affection. When we read the life story of Jesus, we see him again and again as the good shepherd picking up cast sheep, cast down sheep. Just think of the tenderness and the patience, the love he used to restore Peter's soul after that terrible tragedy of the temptations when he denied Christ three times, and Christ coming to restore one of his own. Now, I take you to John chapter 21. Listen to this at a later date when Jesus appeared to the disciples the first time face to face, where he spoke again with Peter. In John 21 verse 15, "When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' Said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' Said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you are young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And after saying this to him, he said, "Follow me." Jesus tenderly restoring Simon Peter just days after he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And Keller in his little book points out that we have to be realistic about the life of the child of God and face facts as they really are. Most of us, though we belong to Christ and desire to be under His control and endeavor to allow ourselves to be led by Him, do on occasion find ourselves cast down. We discover that often when we are most sure of ourselves, we stumble and we fall. Sometimes when we appear to be flourishing in our faith, we find ourselves suddenly in a situation of frustration and futility. So Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2, he says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he fall." Psalm 56, verse 13, "For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I might walk before God in the light of life." Friends, let's turn our attention to the means which God uses to restore our soul. This verse tells us that He, the Good Shepherd, restores my soul when I'm cast or when I'm cast down. What does God do about those who wander by reason of sin or indifference? Well, God employs two things, His voice and His hand. His voice and His hand, namely His word and His chastisement. He restores my soul, first of all then, by His word. And you may recall in the Old Testament, and we heard it a few times today, when the Israelites sinned, they disobey God, they turn to idols. What does the word of God tell us? The word of the Lord came by the prophet Isaiah, or the word of the Lord came by the prophet Joel, or Micah, or Malachi. The word of the Lord came to the people of Israel. And that word would normally start by outlining the personal sins and the national sins of the people, followed by warnings and encouragements to repent and to turn back and to call once again upon the name of the Lord. And what happened? When these warnings were not heeded and the people would not repent, the prophet would return, and he would return with promised judgments, with chastisements, with threatenings and calamities that would come upon them for their failure to heed the word of the Lord. Now let's go back to the example of Peter, that account which illustrates this so well. The Lord Jesus Christ warned the apostle Peter that he was going to be sifted like wheat. And he warned him of the sifting process, and Peter paid no attention. He denied it. Typical Peter, not me. Maybe them, but not me. And the result was that the apostle denied the Lord three times with oaths and curses. And when that cock crowed twice, what happened? Jesus looked at Peter, because he was in the courtyard. Imagine the sorrow after so sorely denying the Lord. I'm sure it must have entered Peter's mind to give it all up, to lose faith, and on account of his guilt and his sin, but he did not. Why didn't he give up? Why didn't he, like Judas Iscariot, go and hang himself at this? Well, Luke 22, when Jesus met with his disciples before his death, said these words to Simon, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." In one sentence, the Lord Jesus Christ predicts not only Peter's denial, but also his tender restoration. Notice here what it is that restores Peter after his denial. Luke 23 and 61. "The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How he had told him, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. The word of Christ penetrated Peter's heart and his soul, and it broke him down. When he meant his best, he found out what a wicked heart he had. And when he did his worst, he found out what a blessed heart Christ has. He is our good shepherd. He restores my soul. Return, thou backsliding Israel, says the prophet, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. He restores my soul, the voice of love divine, calling back the wanderer from the error of his ways, and in so doing spare him the necessity of feeling the weight of the divine hand. Brothers and sisters, the Lord will restore his children with his word. And when you find yourself in a state of sin and backsliding, or indifference and a coldness of heart towards God, when your faith is weak and you would despair, bring to mind the word of the Lord. Do not hide. Do not neglect, like we so often do, the ordinary means of grace given to us. When we're backsliding, we would avoid the pastor. We would avoid Christian fellowship. We would avoid coming to church. But that is where we ought to be. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is especially when you're weak and in a state of sin or backsliding, when you will more than ever need to hear the word of Christ. And be warned, says the Lord Jesus Christ, watch and pray. Now, Brother George's sermon this very morning, he mentioned that sin causes us to despise even the avenue of our deliverance. And here is the avenue of our deliverance, the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, restores us with his voice, with his Word. And if you're in that position today, there is but one thing to do. His word. Listen to his voice. But if his word is not heeded, when we refuse to listen to the word of Christ, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will leave the 99 in an open field, says the scripture, and he will come after the one which is lost. When he is called and the sheep has not come, when he is called and the sheep has refused to hear his voice, or he is called and the sheep is utterly frustrated and cast down and caught up in sin and the cares of the world and weighed down by these things, the shepherd doesn't move on with the 99 and say, well, I can't leave the 99 just for one. He will leave the 99 and come and restore the one. And he will restore us, if necessary, secondly, by his hand. By his hand. Secondly, he restores my soul with chastisement. When our hearts remain stubborn and we refuse to repent and obey, the good shepherd will pursue us and will find us, and he will restore us to the fold, sometimes using painful means and his chastisement to turn our hearts once again to himself. And Proverbs 3 verse 11, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects a son in whom he delights. Of course, Hebrews 12 takes this very verse and even expands on it in verse 5 of Hebrews 12. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are approved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whose father does not discipline him? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short while as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Let's today be sure to recognize the Lord's word, restoration, and his chastisement for our good, and respond to it. They are both blessings for the good of our soul. My friends, we can be in no worse position than if we were to be left to our own devices. Every now and then in life you come across a child, perhaps a two-year-old or a three-year-old, that has absolutely no discipline by word or by any means of chastisement. And there are few of us who could endure the company of that self-destructed child for a moment. So let's take these blessed words to heart, that as sheep are often cast down, we need our good shepherd to bring us back, to restore us, to set our feet once again on firm ground by his word or by his chastisement. Now, in listening today, it may have become clear to you as you've listened to these words that the Lord doesn't deal with you in any of these ways, that you do not recognize his voice, and even though you hear someone speaking, you don't know his word. And if you've not come to know the discipline of the Lord as that of a loving father to a son, then perhaps it's become apparent to you today that you are not one of his sheep, that you are not a child of God by adoption through the justifying work of Christ on the cross. Perhaps today you feel the weight of your sin and your guilt as one who is astray, one who has gone his own way. Then come, call on him while he is near. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep, that we may come to the Father in spite of our sin, that we may look to him, believe on him, repent of our sin and ask him to cleanse you, to awaken you from the dead, to give you the new birth, that you too with all God's people may know and realize that chief end of man, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, to know him and to have peace with God and the blessings that come with the privilege of sonship. Listen to 1 John chapter 1 verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you're not one of his sheep today, and you feel the weight of your sin, and you feel miserable, and you feel lost, and you feel lonely, well, here it is. Here it is. To all who receive him, who believed on his name, to them he gives the right to become children of God. Come to the Good Shepherd. Come to him while there is time, even this day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we've all been cast down. We've all known the tender shepherd's care in restoring us, both by his word and by his chastisements from time to time. Perhaps you are at that place today as a result of your sin, your backsliding. You sit here with all of us, well-dressed like I am today because I'm preaching. No one really knows your heart. You feel far from God. There's sin in your heart. You haven't visited his word. And you've heard the word preached, but you feel far from God. As a result of dark providences, circumstances in your life, the trials that seem too heavy to bear, take courage in this. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Listen to his voice today, calling you back to himself. Recognize his chastisement when you have not heeded his word, and see his chastisement in these difficult dark days as the Lord's kind hand in bringing you back to himself, restoring your soul. Brothers and sisters, you may feel very safe today, and you feel very good today, and you feel very blessed, and perhaps you're prospering financially, and you feel absolutely great, like that fat sheep with a thick wool coat. But you know, you just like to find a comfortable place. There are not that many trials. You'd like to take the easy way out. And you're not that concerned when there's some work needed done in the church. You just like to find that little hollow, but you feel great and flourished and strong. Beware. Beware. Let's take heed lest we fall, lest we, like comfortable sheep, are cast down just in a moment. Let's close as we remind ourselves the letter to the church in Laodicea in Revelation. These folk were very comfortable. These folk were very prosperous materially. With life they were prospering, but they were in fact cast down. They were in fact lukewarm. They were in fact backslidden. Listen to it in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. I'll read that passage. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you be hot or cold, because you are lukewarm. Neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter where you are, no matter what your state, he will leave the 99 and pursue you by his word and chastisement and bring you back to fellowship with him. Behold, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out. The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are ashamed as we bow before you this day, for we know that so often we have turned from you, we have sinned against you, and we have tried to hide from you, Lord. We have grown out of close fellowship with you. Oh Lord, your warning, the warning from your word has come to us today, and how grateful we are that no matter what our sin, no matter how cold our hearts have become, how indifferent we have become, you are the good shepherd who will leave the 99 and seek and restore the one which was lost. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word this day. And our prayer is that there is any here today who are not of your sheep. Oh Lord, that the weight of your word would be upon them this day, that they will be convinced of righteousness and judgment, that they would be called upon your name, that you will hear them and save them. Lord, bless us, we pray. Seal your word to our hearts and grant that we would call upon your name, no matter what our circumstances, no matter where we find ourselves in this day. And we give you thanks that you are the good shepherd who restores our soul. We pray this with thanksgiving in Christ's name. Amen.